Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Good Friday morning to you. It's 7:41, 64 degrees right here on Palmetto Mornings on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us this morning. You can also watch us on Comporium Channel 103 or download the free WRHI app. We're also live on Facebook, so you can check us out there. We all are keeping up with as much as we can as it changes minute to minute on the COVID-19. But as it relates to South Carolina Department of Health, we've got Jonathan Nock joining us to answer some of those questions that citizens are most concerned about and giving us up-to-date knowledge on what we need to be aware of. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Yes, so busy times for you all.
It is indeed.
Why don't you give us a perspective on what's been happening over the course of just this week alone?
Yeah, so South Carolina, as you know, we've had a number of cases occurring across the state, and we are up to 81 cases in 17 counties. We've had the first cases in Abbeville and Dorchester and Saluda counties we reported yesterday. And if folks wanted, they can track that information on our website. There's a map available on the website that reports the number of cases in each county. And I think many people probably already know that the bulk of cases right now in South Carolina have been in Kershaw County. And we've been putting in measures in place in conjunction with the governor's office and other team members to try and reduce the spread and encourage people to practice social distancing and good hygiene so we can get on top of this.
Jonathan, we know in the state of South Carolina as well in the country, the seasonal flu claims thousands of lives, especially again here in South Carolina. The coronavirus has claimed at least one life, we do know, in South Carolina in Lexington County. Can you put in perspective for folks that continue to see this as a lot of hype over the coronavirus when we look at the seasonal flu, which impacts almost at least one person in every family throughout the given seasonal flu season?
Sure. I think one of the biggest differences is that for influenza, we have a vaccine that can either prevent people from getting infected, or if they do wind up getting the flu, they'll have a much milder form of the flu, which means they're less likely to get hospitalized or have serious complications. Mm. Unfortunately, in the case of COVID-19 or coronavirus, we don't have a vaccine. And so the population is essentially completely unprotected from the virus, and it's able to spread relatively quickly and easily. So that's really the concern there.
So the vaccine is the key. That does put everything, at least hope for everyone listening, puts things into perspective.
That's right.
Now, Jonathan, for our listeners, help us understand. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts as it relates to trying to get a hold and understanding data on how this coronavirus is going to progress moving forward. We've got our frontline, you know, nurses and doctors out there. We've got DHEC doing their part. How does DHEC, what is your primary role in all of this coronavirus spread?
Well, the role of the health department is really to try to figure out where the cases are occurring. We call that surveillance. We look at the different tests. The tests get reported to us. Either we run the tests ourselves or private laboratories report them to us. And we try and control and mitigate the spread of infection as best as we can. We really rely on the clinical partners, and they've been such a huge part of this, to evaluate patients, evaluate their symptoms, think about a diagnosis, perform testing, and appropriate treatment. So we work really closely with the community members to try and figure out where the disease is occurring, and our role is to try and provide mitigation measures and control measures through isolation or quarantine and making recommendations to other leaders in the governor's office and others in the community to try and control the spread.
Jonathan, as you know, everyone, thanks to the internet and WebMD, they become instant doctors. We call it Dr. Google a lot of times. Given the season we're in right now, which is allergy season, a lot of people might be coughing and sneezing, having similar symptoms of that of the flu and the coronavirus. They start, you know, Googling and researching on their own, and then it just starts spiraling from there. What is your advice for folks that literally might think that they're sick? Do they go to their primary care doctor first? Do they go to MUSC.cares? What is the protocol that folks should be following if they believe they're getting sick, but they don't know what they have exactly?
Yeah, I think that's one of the difficult things about coronavirus. It's not very specific as far as the symptoms go. You know, if you have a fever and a cough and sore throat, it could be any number of things. It could be a common cold, it could be flu, it could be coronavirus. And I think that's what makes this a little bit of a challenge for people in the community as well as providers determining testing. I think if folks are concerned about their symptoms and their status, they should consult their healthcare provider. As you mentioned, there are some telehealth options that have been set up across the state. And we have links to that on our website. If you go to scdhec.gov/COVID-19, towards the top of the page, there are some links there about different providers in the state that are doing telehealth visits, often free of charge, and determining people's symptoms and whether or not they're a candidate for testing. And we're going to be updating that in the coming days as well, to provide other resources that people might find helpful in their community.
That's great information. You know, We're getting very used to press conferences daily from our president, press conferences daily from our governor, and we hear a lot about how self-containment and just pretty much sheltering in place, we're not quite there yet in South Carolina, but it seems to be the trend that happens next, is going to flatten the impact of the spread of coronavirus. How are we doing in South Carolina in that effort to flatten the curve?
That's a good question. I think we should expect to see more and more cases as we do more testing. So I don't think we should be surprised if we're seeing increasing numbers diagnosed in the coming days, in the coming weeks, because more and more testing facilities are coming online. And I think that, you know, the measures that we've taken so far, you know, recommending the school closures and restaurant closures and school distancing can really make a difference. How much of an impact that will make will be difficult to tell. We'll find out as time goes on. But I think, you know, people keeping in mind the things that they can do as far as, you know, social distancing as much as possible and washing their hands very well for 20 seconds with soap and water and covering their cough or sneeze. And if they are ill, they should stay home from work until they're better and without fever. I think those are the common things that we would recommend with any kind of cold or flu-like symptoms anyway. And so I think those sort of simple measures can actually be effective, and I think that's what we all need to be working on.
Certainly not fortune tellers, but given if once we get over this hump of coronavirus and life becomes back to normal, Jonathan, and then, of course, we go into the summer seasons and then the traditional flu seasons, I'm sure you all are probably thinking as well, folks who normally typically don't get the flu shot every year for whatever reason, they might be thinking that differently this coming flu season, the seasonal flu shot.
Yeah, we always recommend that folks stay up to date on recommended immunizations. Helps prevent all kinds of diseases, whether that's, you know, measles or mumps or chickenpox. And flu is one of those things that changes every single year. It can mutate. And so that's why we need to get annual flu vaccines, and you know, they can be effective in preventing and reducing symptoms associated with the flu. So we always encourage folks to get their flu shot.
Nice. And a lot of patience, I think, for all of us to just continue to follow the guidelines that are set. And we hopefully will be able to check in with you periodically to find out how we're doing as a state, and hopefully we'll get over that hump, right? And start the decline of seeing fewer cases and positive tests.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, we're here to be a resource and provide information to the public to help keep them protected and safe. So I'm happy to come back on and provide further information in the future for you and the listeners as well.
Great. Jonathan, awesome. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it.